Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans. Number one, of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
All right, well, welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, live from the Casabella Design Group studios. And I am joined, of course, by the only live podcaster to lead the NFL in receptions, to bowl a perfect game, and to win a damn Emmy. He is OJ McDuffie.
What are you talking about, dog?
There it
is. What are you talking about?
Right there, fellas.
What do you mean, Big Seth?
And he ain't alone.
What do you mean, Big Seth? You talking about this thing?
I mean, it's the right Emmy here. Award-winning fish tank, I have to say. Find me another guy in the history of the NFL that has that combo.
Right. I'm looking forward to that, man. You know,
if you're
one
willing
of one
to do that research, God bless you.
One of one, man.
But yeah. For now,
congratulations again, Big Seth, on the honor, man. Great job, bro.
You too, know, my man.
Honestly, man, what a great night we had.
Oh my God.
Ooh, look at that in the frame. I just now see it in the frame, player. You know, what a great night we had on Saturday night, man. Because, you know, we were sitting there, honestly, just, and you know this, Big Seth, just honored to be there, you know, to be nominated. And then we saw how they were skipping categories, Chad, you know, Perk and Savak. So we were just hoping our category didn't get skipped at one point because,
right,
you know, in order to get an Emmy, you got to be Emmy worthy. So if your category might be there, but you still might not get one if they don't feel like it was worthy, man. So the fact that we saw our category come up, you know, we're sitting number two on the whole list of people on there, man. And they skipped the first person.
They did.
Came to us, man, and we lost our shit, man. We lost our shit. But hey, thank goodness, Chad, we were close to the bar too, man. So we're making bar runs, you know what I mean? We were just making, just in case, you know what I mean? Just relaxing and stuff, man. So yeah, it worked out great, man. So yeah, man, this is this means of all the shit I've gotten for playing sports, man, this right here that sits on Mount Rushmore for me right here, man.
I love to hear that, Juice, and I have to admit, of all the shit I got for playing sports as well.
Yeah.
This trumps them.
Well, you know, those blue ribbons, the red ribbons, the fucking
I had
that
baseball season. I went the entire baseball season, got one hit.
That plastic guy, that plastic guy that you had on that's a batter. Now the bat's probably broken. I get it, man.
Seth, did you save that ball? That one hit? You save that ball?
No, man. I
They stopped the game.
They did. The ceremony, big Seth.
Damn near canceled the seasons.
That was much appreciated, man. For the grats. Yeah. For
sure. I should make it up. Oh man, look at the crew in the what a fucking flex. That's right, baby. You know it, Lewis. You flexing straight up. Absolutely we are. We're just gonna keep it in frame. Appreciate it. The crew is all here. I love everybody who's showing up. Appreciate you guys, Sam and Lewis, Andrew in the house. I love it. Absolutely great
Absolutely,
stuff.
Man.
And not only is that crew in the chat, but of course, always the legendary Savak joins us again. Producer of the Emmy Award-winning podcast, The Fish Tank.
That's right.
Chad Van Horn said he's tired of all your shit. He's going to rock his Steelers jersey. Good for you.
If
you're going to make me do this show from home at 9 p.m., I'm going to put on what I want to put on.
It's so a bus in the building. The bus.
Absolutely. The mics are screwed up again. What am I hearing?
I'm choosing violence this week, and if the mics are screwed up, we're blaming Juice this time.
It can't be me this time.
Oh, man. I don't even want to hear it. Please don't tell me that, Sam. Please don't tell me that.
Whose mic is fucked up, man?
I don't know. Sam might just be fucking with us. We'll find out here soon enough.
I'm trolling us, Sam.
Did it get hit out of the infield? It doesn't matter. I reached for base, Mike. Okay?
That's right.
It doesn't
That's
matter. Right. If it got hit out of the infield. Why would you want to qualify this right now?
Oh, it's one of those mommy hits. They call those like mommy hits.
It doesn't matter.
My baby got the first base. That's a hit. Went through the pitcher's legs, went through the shortstop's legs, but my baby got on first base. That's a hit.
That is all that matters, okay? Listen. I'm trying to qualify my one damn hit. That's messed up. I'm highly offended, Mike. I'm highly offended. Okay, we've waited long enough, literally have waited long enough. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel columnist, the host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. He is Perk, and he's back in the building. What's up, Perk?
Hey, Verizon took my food stamps, man. I was able to pay my bill this month.
I hope you paid your HOA bill, bro.
I paid that too. I'm all paid up.
I imagine we'll be discussing that in the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. Please stick around for that and think of some great questions as well for Chad.
Yes.
Weird that Chad's wearing the number of points Miami's going to score on Monday against Pittsburgh.
Chad. We're coming for you, Chad.
Oh, man.
Coming for you.
They are absolutely
not at 19 degrees. You're not.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
I'm glad we said 19. Well, good. I'm glad everyone's in good spirits as well. You know why we're in good spirits? Four in a row, 5 out of 6. It feels good to be a Dolphins fan right now. But my question, and I'll start with Chris Perkins. My question is, are the Dolphins for real? Is what we're seeing the real deal? Are they truly on a run, or is it fool's gold?
I think what we're seeing from the Dolphins is the team that I thought we were seeing coming out of training camp, the team that I thought was going to win 9 games. Now, I think they're good enough to be mediocre. I don't think they're good enough to win a playoff game. I don't think they're good enough to make the playoffs. But I think that for the most part, they're living up to expectations. What does that mean for Mike McDaniel coming back next season? I'm sure we'll flesh that out later on today. But we can believe in what we've seen. The Buffalo victory was legit. The other 3 victories are games that they should have won, but they took care of business. They won on the road in December. It's all positive. I have nothing bad to say about what we've seen from this team.
All right.
Perk, I think this team that we're seeing right now wins a lot of those games that we lost early in the season. If they were doing what they're doing right now, I think this team wins those some of those games, and the games especially that we're supposed to win. And I say that wholeheartedly because this is the recipe for success in the NFL, mm-hmm. what they're doing right now. They're playing great on teams. And of course, they gave a you know, kickoff return for a touchdown or a punt, whatever the hell it was. They didn't stop the dude from getting in the end zone. You know what I mean? But they only gave up 3 points on defense, right? Yep. But the ability to run the rock the way they did and without our number one dude, you know, for most of the game, and the ability to play defense. I don't care who – people can say whoever we're playing. Of course, the Jets offense is putrid. Of course, right. Tyrod Taylor got hurt. I get all that. Right. That's football, though, man. That's part of the game, you know. And you're going to run against some bad quarterbacks and bad teams. And we've done that, and we've lost to some of these scrubs, you know. So the fact that we're able to go in there and play great defense and run the football, that's what you have to do in December. So, look, we got another December game coming up, 2 home games and a final that might not even matter. I think this team is going to get to your 9-win threshold, Perk. But it starts this week getting a 7-7 against, you know, Chad's sorry ass Steelers, you know?
Hey, I'll tell you this. What I do like about this team is they are playing old school football, like Drew said. It's run game and defense. It's not Tua. It's not Tyreek. It's run game and defense. By the way, in the last 6 games, they are +7 in turnover margin. And they have not had more than 5 penalties in any of these 6 games. So, yeah, they're producing turnovers. They're not hurting themselves with dumb penalties. They're playing defense. They're running the ball. I believe in this brand of football that the Dolphins are putting forward right now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I mean, the Steelers are going to be – hey, the Steelers shocked the hell out of me, Chad. And you can talk about this a little bit. You know, with that win in Baltimore, that was shocking to see Aaron still able to go out there and make some plays and stuff, man. And that, you know, and that's going – he's always done that against us, right, Big Seth? Like, it's always – like, what's that, the Christmas game?
Yeah.
The Christmas game when he's with the Packers, when Tua wished us a Merry Christmas afterwards? You're muted, Big Seth, but you'll figure it out.
rookie mistakes.
There we go. Rookie
I was trying to hide the echo from last week.
Oh, so yes, it was you then. It is you. It ain't me then.
I'll take it, Juice.
Well,
I'll take it.
I mean, who else is going to take it? I mean, I changed my whole MO over here,
crack
bro.
Open my Mountain Dew here.
Yeah, so, but yeah.
I don't know, that damn Emmy is looking good.
Go ahead, Chad.
Juice, so something different is this year is something very different with the Steelers, because you would always want to play the Steelers the week after the Baltimore game, right? Because that usually was the most physical game, and we didn't see that this past week.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tomlin is known for coming up with the unexpected wins, but sometimes he comes up with those unexpected losses as well, where, you know, we're the favorites at home and we just don't show up. So I really have no idea what's going to happen in this game. I am certainly glad, other than I'm attending it, I'm glad it's going to be 12 degrees for the Steelers, because I think that's to their advantage. And Perk probably knows the statistics under a certain degree what the Dolphins do.
Not good.
I'm hoping maybe a sponsor will put me in a box, because I'm not built for 12 degrees anymore. but how crazy is it to think that this actually is a matchup for a potential playoff spot? It really is crazy. And if you would have talked about this 4-6 weeks ago, you would have thought you were crazy for saying it. But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. I'm sorry. Sam Marcou with the line of the night. Keith is now my favorite Van Horn.
Is that the baller?
Yeah, cousin Keith from Utah. I met him at a family reunion, and he actually told me he hates Sam. I don't know how he knew.
I knew it was going to happen. But, when you run into
but
it.
He did cousin tell me Keith. That. So,
God, it's too good. It's too good. Well, Park, you talked about playing that old school football in the running game, but the power running game has been with 100-something pound back, soaking wet, and Devon Achane, who has become one of the most electric players in the National Football League. Do we know anything about his status? I was looking for the injury report, and then I remembered that today is a Tuesday for the Dolphins since the Monday Night Football game coming up. So we won't see an injury report until tomorrow. Have you heard anything?
No, other than what McDaniel told us on Monday that Achane had an MRI, it was clean, and so he might get a day off from practice this week. But look, Achane has been balling, and I've been saying this also. I would extend that man after the season. I probably said that on this show before, that I think the model for his contract would be James Cook's contract in Buffalo, the 4 years for $78 million, $30 million guaranteed. And because Achane weighs 191 pounds, I'm with you, Chad. I'm with you right there. I would make it a front-loaded contract, kind of a two-year deal, right? That all the guarantees are in the first 2 years, so that if something does happen, you know, physically after that second year, you can get out of it with little penalty. But Achane is a baller. I like what he's doing. And he's gotten healthier as his career is going on. Y'all remember his rookie year, he missed, what, 4 or 5 games. Last year, he didn't miss any games, even though he had the concussion. This year, he hasn't missed any games, even though he missed a half last week with the rib injury. I like what I see from him durability-wise. And I told him a couple of weeks ago, I was like, man, you're pretty durable. Nobody gets a clean shot on you. And he looked at me and he laughed and he goes, nobody's supposed to get a clean shot on me. I was like, that is part of your job, isn't it? So he's doing a good job.
Yeah, and the crazy part about that too, Perk, is that they're running between the tackles a lot more.
Right. You know
what I mean? And that's when dudes usually get hurt. When you got to run up with them big uglies, man, between the tackles, and you know, you're not of the biggest stature. So I do love the fact that, you know, that Achane has been able to do that. And when you say that, you know, we already knew he didn't have broken ribs. They did x-rays at the game. Now the MRI shows there's nothing major. I always know anytime that's the situation, Achane will be out there on Monday night. That's the bottom line right there, man. Because I've seen guys, you know, play with worse. And now we know these guys are getting tougher as the season goes on. And, you know, we saw what the other guys did. But Achane is that dude, man, that honestly, if they don't get him taken care of right now, it's going to cost them a lot more later. They better take care of it as soon as possible.
And, so, Juice, you know what I don't want to happen? I don't want him to get to the final year of his contract and bet on himself, and then he's so valuable that it's a Christian Wilkins, Rob Hunt situation where somebody else pays him an outrageous sum, and the Dolphins are like, well, we can't afford that.
We can't match that. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Lock him up after this season.
Yeah, we've seen that movie before, and it doesn't end well.
Those two guys are not good examples. I mean, think about what's going on with those two guys that we let go right now. I mean, Hunt's playing all right, but Christian is like, I mean, that was a – utter disaster for Raiders.
I will say this, paying a guard or paying a defensive tackle $100 million, a defensive tackle who doesn't get sacks $100 million is different than paying a back who, you know, scores touchdowns and droves. And although, you know, running backs and longevity and all that, those are all things to consider. But I like what you were saying about, you know, not getting hurt. And again, I don't want to jinx the guy, but we heard Mike McDaniel, was it last week, where he talked about in the draft process, as he watched his film, he noticed that the guy never took direct hits.
Right.
He carried the ball a lot. He always got a lot of yardage, but he found a way to not take direct hits. And I think we see a lot of that too, Juice. He finds a way to kind of get small and get down. I heard you talk about know when to kind of give up the fight.
Right.
I think we see that a lot with him.
Yeah, good backs, man. Good backs always want to do that, man. You know, you never want to take on too much smoke as a running back, man. No matter what, you know, as a running back, when you run into defensive linemen or some linebackers, man, you get small, you get down. I like to create friendly fire when I play. Like, you know, a corner wants to hold me up, and then he wants to let a safety come clean me up. Nah, son, that ain't happening here. I got so much dead weight coming that the safety's coming for you, player. You know what I mean? I'll be so dead weight. It's like a limp fish on that dude, man.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, I got Ty Law knocked out one time. You know what I mean? I think Lori Malloy came for me, and he knocked Ty out almost. You know what I mean? Obviously, there was no concussion protocol back then, so he stayed in the game. But, yo, nice try, though, player. You know, so these dudes getting skinny, getting down, protecting themselves, man. That's longevity. You know, another thing, longevity, you see running backs all the time, getting picked up by linemen. You know, that's – that preserves energy. There's all kinds of things that can help you as a running back in the NFL or any level really that can give you a chance to play multiple weeks without getting hurt, man. But taking unnecessary contact, no, these dudes are for real. I watched some hard hitting all weekend long, but you got to see that, man. If you don't have that peripheral vision, that's on the periphery, Big Seth, if that's like a big word like mayonnaise on the periphery, you got to see all that, you know? And you got to see that contact coming, man. If you don't, then you running like a horse, man. You can't be running with blinders on, bro.
Well, speaking of peripheral vision and contact, I'm familiar with that word because in that one hit season I had, my mother actually took me to the doctor to see what the hell was wrong with my eyes, and it was an issue with my peripheral vision. So I just
I kept that one, Big Seth.
I just want to put that out there. You know,
he couldn't hit the curveball. That was it. It was coming from the periphery.
It was coming. Right. It was coming.
At 8 years old.
He's it's coming watch out from the foul it. Line. Coming from.
Yeah, you got to watch out for it. Oh, damn. I just saw what Bobby said there. They're giving up that number. Well, so again, I'm going to keep building on this running game. I mean, you know, they have 250 yards in the last game, and they've become a running team. I mean, the Miami Dolphins just 2 years ago were reinventing offensive football, creating, right? I mean, literally creating whatever the heck they called that, you know, that release that Tyreek Hill had that team started to copy, and was it legal? Was it illegal? And right. And 70 that points in the game. And now the cheat motion. Now it's just a ground and pound offense. Perk, you had an interesting text to me earlier today about, you know, did they kind of discover this by accident? But isn't this what you wanted? Didn't you want to see a physical running team? Didn't you feel that's what they needed to win games?
This is what I wanted, but I don't think they were going to do that with Tyreek Hill on the field, because I think Mike McDaniel's inclination was, I got to keep getting the ball to Tyreek. I think this injury to Tyreek is the best thing that happened to Mike McDaniel. I think it's what could bring Mike McDaniel back in 2026, because if Tyreek was out there, I could almost guarantee you he would still be trying to force that ball downfield from Tua's left arm to Tyreek's speedy legs, and that wasn't working. And so what we're seeing here is kind of what happened with Jay Ajayi and Adam Gase, where you're just kind of struggling to find something offensively in your passing offense, and all of a sudden the running game blows up, and you're like, damn, hold up, let me ride this. And this isn't anything that Mike McDaniel planned. He kind of lucked into it, but from the Dolphins' standpoint, it's great that he had the wisdom and foresight to stick with it. This was just kind of a happy accident, but he was smart enough to stick with it. And I think that the play calling and creativity is better. He's in his bag better as a run coordinator than as a pass coordinator. We saw the three guys in the backfield, right? With Julian Hill and Alec Ingold and Devon Achane. That's like old school Full House backfield, the blocking angles. I like what we're seeing from Mike McDaniel here.
Don't forget six offensive linemen either, right?
We can't forget that's right.
I mean, it's just
right.
Well, yeah, and you know what? That's a great point, Perk, because he came here as a run game coordinator. He was a guru. MO right there, you know. But his whole thing, though, when he came here, obviously, was to get Tua going. That's the video, the 400 clips of him doing whatever, you know, the phone call. Everything was about getting Tua going, because everybody feels that that's how the league works. You look at some of these great quarterbacks that have done it, you know, they've all leaned on a run game. You know, all of them leaned on a run game that have been really, really successful. Peyton Manning's, you know, his one championship. I mean, he was stacked. He was stacked as a team already. But then when he went to Denver, they leaned on the defense and the run game.
Right.
Terry Bradshaw's in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to talk about that because that's a whole different story. But all they did was lean on the run game. Big Chad.
Easy, Chad.
I feel you, bro. I feel you, man. He's a token Hall of Famer. I get it.
Not just Hall of Famer. Super Bowl, like multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, he did. How many MVPs he having those?
Man, MVPs.
How many MVPs he having those Super Bowls? I'm asking the question, man. I'm talking about what he doing the big games. Yeah. Big Chad. I'm just asking.
He
man.
Won.
I'm just asking.
He won.
He said he won.
Right. So I get it.
You know the one thing he didn't do in the 70s? He didn't go undefeated. All right, let's keep it moving here.
Because
he wasn't able to get that.
Damn.
I just want to say that. So, but I want to go back to something you said about the whole Tyreek Hill thing's the best thing. Because it's funny, Perk, you are on record multiple times. Your best line that I've heard even other writers quote is the fact that the best weapon that the Dolphins had was Tyreek Hill and the threat of Tyreek Hill.
Right.
But it turned out that maybe that wasn't the case. I almost did my try to tell y'all, I was ready to move on from Tyreek this offseason for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think the biggest reason is the same reason that I was ready to move on from Jalen Ramsey, is I think he undermined what Mike McDaniel was trying to accomplish. And you know, either you're coaching it or allowing it to happen. Mike McDaniel has to take ownership of that as well, that he allowed it to happen. But I just felt that Tyreek, you know, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze any longer with Tyreek Hill. I just felt that was the case. Yes, he is an all-time. I want to make sure that I'm being, you know, everyone said you're crazy because of what a talent he is. It's a generational talent. If I had a vote, and I don't, although I do know a few people who do, if I had a vote for the Hall of Fame, whenever he's ready, to me, he's a first ballot player.
No doubt.
I mean, he is an all-time great. So I'm taking nothing away from Tyreek Hill in terms of the quality of a player that he is. But it had gotten to the point where he became it became addition by subtraction with him.
Right.
And we've seen that. And the question is, if Tyreek Hill was not a Miami Dolphin at the start of this season, would they have found their way into the offense that we see now sooner? And would that have served them well?
I think they would have, and here's why. Because I thought in training camp, I thought that run game looked good with Alexander Mattison. Alexander Mattison and Willie Gay, to me, were two of the training camp standouts, but then Mattison got that neck injury. But I thought that with, you know, you guys remember that Tyreek missed the early part of training camp because of the oblique surgery, and then he missed later, what was it, a wrist injury or a hand injury? Or no, I have that wrong. It was the wrist surgery at the start, and then he had the oblique later on. So he wasn't out there for a lot of training camp, but they were. It was, we saw the Tua to Waddle connection, the best that it's probably been in the at the NFL level. But we also saw Alexander Mattison out there balling, and I was thinking they're developing a different offensive identity. When Tyreek came back, they tried to force the ball to Tyreek. I think Tyreek getting injured was a good thing for the development of this offense because it forced them to go somewhere else. They weren't, and you guys know how the good teams would just sit on Tyreek and Waddle. In 2023 and 2024, neither Tyreek nor Waddle had a 100-yard game against a playoff team, and that's why they were 2-10 in that span. So now you're getting a better offensive result, an offense that's harder to shut down. I think this has been a very positive thing for the Dolphins, for Mike McDaniel, for the offensive line, right, who a lot of people thought was garbage. It's just been good. Time of possession, everything. It's been good.
Yeah. Go ahead, Big Seth.
Well, no, and I, you know, the offensive line piece, I want to get to that in a second. But since we're spending so much time talking about the offense, we have yet to mention the quarterback. And I think part of the reason is he's become less of a necessity in the way the team is playing, and they've even been, you know, when you rush for 250 yards, even when he's not at his best, it all worked out. The biggest news, and this isn't Dolphins news, but I want to make it a Dolphin conversation. Phillip Rivers is back, fellas. Like, you know, I mean, that is a wild situation for so many reasons. His age, the absence, the fact that he was maybe two steps away from being a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and now he's got to reset the clock on that a little bit. But it begs the question. One of the things that I thought was really important this offseason is that the Dolphins draft a promising young quarterback, and they got a veteran quarterback that had success in the National Football League. They got a veteran quarterback trying to do a reclamation project on Zach Wilson. I don't know how that's going. Doesn't seem like it's going very well. But – or it didn't seem like it's going very well. We don't know because he hasn't really had to play. But my question for you is, and this is something Travis Wingfield, Juice, and I were texting about earlier today, what do you think the Dolphins quarterback room should look like next year? I don't think they run it back with this three, with the three that they have now. And you know, maybe you have to see another year in camp of Quinn Ewers. You got a young guy there.
depends how the how the board falls in the draft. Tua's getting paid a lot of money. I don't see a world where they're able to move on from him. Do they need a veteran quarterback? I don't know. I don't know who you dig up. How's Jeff George's release? Is his release still pretty good these days? I don't know who you dig up. But, Juice, what do you think the Dolphins quarterback room should look like next year?
Yeah, it's going to be it's gonna be Tua, Marino, and Ewers.
That ain't so bad.
That's going to be
– I'm down.
And then I'll be the emergency quarterback.
And we can do a story about it, Juice, and maybe.
Right. We get another one of these? We get another one of these out of that? Let's go, man. No, count me in.
Too far back.
No, yeah. You know, and that's the thing about it, Seth. You know, we are – here's the thing about here's the thing about this whole thing. You keep saying – we keep saying – everything is all – flexible right now in terms of everybody's position next year, right? Think about this. If this team goes on this run, we're talking about 7-7, 8-7, you know, 9-7, 10-7, and it's a formula that works. Of course, Tua's going to get every opportunity next year to be the starter again because we have to have him. Now, what if they go on a run and Tua's role has been to the role that it's been in these last few weeks of football? And the team's been playing successfully, he will stay in that role, man. He will stay there. He will stay. He will stay as the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. If the Dolphins, which our biggest problem has been getting off to a good start, 1-6 definitely didn't help. You know what I mean? That right there is a problem already. But if they go into September next year, you know, and playing the same type of ball they're playing in November and December, that Tua's safe. Mike is safe. They're going to be safe. Depending on how everything pans out right now. So with that being said, you always have to have a quality backup that can come in there and give you two to possibly three games just in case. Because not only that, every team has that issue, right? You see it. Not every team has an issue with a quarterback missing a couple games possibly. And we've been blessed that Tua's been healthy the whole season for us. But we know that it's always a possibility that we might lose him. So when it comes to the backup position – I like the guys that have been in the system for a while because the system is complex. I called it difficult before, but I was told that I should call it
You
complex.
Have been, yes, you've I adjusted started, that.
I called it, I adjusted to complex.
Perfect.
And that it is. And so it is complex. So you got to be able to, as a quarterback, be able to go through all that and cipher through all that. I love the fact that, you know, Mike and Tua have been together for 4 years now. It's going to be 5 years, and who knows what can happen if they stay to this game plan. We know. Here's my thing. Tua is a $50-plus million-a-year game manager to me, and that's okay with me if that's winning football games. If that's winning football games, that's all I care about. He's going to have to win some games, though. He's going to have to go out and win a couple games for us. But if that's the case and we win football games, I don't care how he handles it, how he gets it done. But he's got that locker room that likes him, Big Seth. That locker room likes him. And, you know, and that's half the battle, man. They like Tua. And, you know, we have to, too, if we want to see him go out there and be successful. But it all goes into this week against the sorry-ass Steelers. Then the two home games right after that, and love then I just do that for Chad.
It's funny because I was on a Steelers podcast and they were talking about the sorry ass.
Yeah, of course they do. We go the same way.
It's funny how it goes both ways.
We've been feeling that way. Yeah, we've been talking about like that. You know what, Chad? It's so funny you say that because people are like, you know, how do you lose to the sorry ass Browns? Well, the Browns thought we were the sorry ass Dolphins when they beat us. You know what I mean? I get it. We were. So I get it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and you know, say what you want about Tua, but at least he isn't wearing a thong. I mean, that's all I got to say. But you know, looking at the Browns, I don't know what the hell's going on over there. All right. So Perk, what about you? Who's out there? I don't even know if you've focused on that, and maybe we don't need to focus on next year. But who? Is there a veteran quarterback that you think makes more sense than Zach Wilson for this team next year?
I don't know what contract situations are, but like I always like Andy Dalton. Look, Matt Jones did a nice job out in San Francisco this year, didn't he? When he played for Brock Purdy. So there are guys out there that can do the job. I will say this. One thing that's going on to me in the NFL this year is we're seeing teams doing it without that superstar quarterback necessarily leading the way, right? Lamar Jackson might not make the playoffs. Joe Burrow is not going to make the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes might not make the playoffs. And so of the elite quarterbacks, okay, Matt Stafford and Josh Allen are going to be in there. But you look at some of the other teams at the top, I don't think you can say that Bo Nix is a great quarterback, right? He's got a great defense playing for him. What's our Caleb Williams in Chicago? I don't know that he's a great quarterback, but his team is having a good season. So this brings me back to Tua and the de-emphasis on Tua that coincides with the Dolphins' success. Yep. And I think it shows you that you don't necessarily have to ride a quarterback's right or left arm to success. You need your quarterback to make timely plays, not carry the offense. And so, you know, when we see what's happening with Tua and we see what's happening with some of the other quarterbacks and the backup quarterbacks also, there's not as much pressure on those guys to succeed.
It's only a matter of time. Don't
carry the offense. The person is back.
We lost him.
And he's rising, not on mute.
Verizon.
It's not an echo, though.
Right. Hey, Seth, I want to point something out. I think Juice will agree with me on this.
Oh,
everybody that Perk was just talking about, when you pay a quarterback the money that they're making now, it just crushes the rest of your roster. And even if they are as incredible as Lamar Jackson, it is hard to overcome that. And that's
Agreed.
Why, like, a Bo Nix is working because he's on a rookie deal. You surround him with the right pieces.
Yep.
So I think there's going to be a regression where people are saying, we're not going to pay $60 million to a guy anymore. We're going to pay $30, $35, $25. And what do you guys think about that? Because we're seeing it even with, like, these guys that may be future Hall of Famers, and with Lamar Jackson obviously is a future Hall of Famer. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think most of these teams right now are looking for younger quarterbacks. Because of the money that is invested into older quarterbacks. It has to be that way, you know what I mean? And then they bring in the older quarterback as backups for $8 to $10 million a year, and that's a lot cheaper than what they would do. But at some time, Chad, these quarterbacks are good. Only time they become great is when they're good over a number of years. You know what I mean? And so if they become great over a number of years, you got to find a way to pay the man. And we all can go back to what Tom Brady did and not take all the bag. You know, taking all the bag is a problem for most of these teams. You know, so if you don't take all the bag, you can still surround yourself with some great players. But at the same time, though, man, these guys are, you know, they're going to get paid, and it's going to continue to grow, in my opinion.
But Juice, Tua, if he would have made a more team-friendly deal and they could have surrounded him with better parts, better offensive line, and I'll let you guys discuss that, he's going to make more money over the life of his career and have a healthier career. Like, we may be seeing this with Jalen Hurts right now.
Yeah.
And obviously he got paid, and he hasn't looked so great anymore. And when Tua took all that money, obviously the Dolphins had to make some decisions. So I think we're seeing it in real time.
I think it's a fair point.
Well,
it's a fair point.
Then I think we can go to Jalen Hurts real quick with that Philly. What Philly's done is their offense makes all the money, and their defense is super young. You know what I mean? They've drafted well, and a lot of defensive guys have made, you know, minimum money when it comes to that, so they're able to work that balance out. At some point, they're going to have to pay the piper on the offensive side, because these defensive guys are going to come, and they're going to have to make some money for those guys, because, I mean, they've got it. They're going to get theirs, or they're going to lose them. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're right. I mean, honestly, I hate to put my hand in anybody's pocket, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, but if somebody can make $40 million a year instead of $50 million a year, I think that would be a great deal for that extra $10 million to make them a competitive team. But you got to make sure a lot of that money's, you know, guarantee for those guys, like it is. And so you take less, because they're going to make, these quarterbacks are going to make 50 a year. That's the line right now, you know. But if I'm a quarterback and I can say, you know what, I'll take 40 instead of 50, and you guarantee me more money. I mean, hell, especially if I live in Buffalo or Green Bay, that's $100 million in those places.
And real quick, Seth, you guys would know this better than I. When the quarterbacks go into these negotiations, do they have the power to say, look, I'll take a little bit less, but I want you to pay my offensive line. I want you to pay my left tackle a little bit more. I want you to bring this wide receiver back. Or is that that doesn't go into those negotiations.
Probably it's not the quarterback.
It's the agent. It's the agent. It ain't the quarterback. Yeah. It's the agent that ain't going for that shit.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, Juice. The agent, they don't want the market to go down. They don't want the market to go backward. And I'll tell you this also. Tua was telling us when he got his extension, there's a text chain among quarterbacks, and everybody was congratulating him. Yo, you reset the bar. Thanks. Good job. You're moving it ahead. Juice is exactly right. They don't want the market going backwards.
Well, we have heard that the market is the market. It's enough talk about that.
Hold on, Seth. I got to tell you a story. I got to tell you a quick story. Marino tells the story best. You know what I mean? When Marino became the first $1 million-a-year quarterback in the NFL, they're playing against the San Diego Chargers right then, you know, back in the day. And, you know, Dan Fouts looked across when Marino set that bar. Dan Fouts was like, I'm next, because that bar keeps getting set like that, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, it's like it's going to continue to be set. And only thing that's really changed, Big Seth, is the signing bonuses on those number one overall picks. They've changed all that because they were making $60, $70 million right away and throwing a pass. But the rest of it, man, once they get in the league, man, and get past that rookie deal, the money's just huge for those boys.
Yeah, no doubt. So going kind of the opposite direction, and I want to move into – we're going to get into I Tried to Tell Y'all, and then we'll get into the Chad Van Horn legal zone. So if you've got your legal questions, Perk, and everybody else, make sure you get them out there. But I do have to shout out Rasul Douglas. I mean, here's a guy who wasn't even on the team to start the season. He just won Defensive Player of the Week. And it's really cool to see how – and I think somebody tweeted this, but all of these areas – that everybody was concerned about for the Miami Dolphins, the defensive backfield is now a strength. The play of the rookies is now a strength. The offensive line is now a strength. The running game is now a strength. So all of these things have kind of flipped. I think it's pretty cool to see that. Let's move into I Tried to Tell Y'all just so we can stay on time a little bit since this is the late night deal. And we got to make sure Bobby can get back to Stranger Things.
Damn, you threw that bitch on us quick, man.
Well, I didn't expect to be talking about two in contact. All right, go ahead. Well, what do you thought? What are your thoughts?
Hey, Juice, Seth clearly has somewhere to be. Yeah, I think maybe he's going to work. He's going to the batting cages tonight, I think. Maybe he's going to work on something.
I will never pick up another bat again, Chad.
Got to go to the eye doctor.
Hey, Chad. Chad, he doesn't even pick up wiffle balls in his wiffle blast, man.
Put on a wiffle ball tournament, never pick up a bat. Put on a golf tournament, never picked up a club.
I love it.
That's it. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Juice? On all of the things that people were concerned about. People wanted to fire the general manager over, and now we're seeing so many of these things are how they're winning.
Right, right. So are we still talking about that?
Sam's doing a whole set, by the way.
Are we going there? Are we talking about I Tried to Tell You, Seth? Where were we at, Blair?
Where would you like to go? I thought I Tried to Tell Y'all, and you guys told me.
Hey, let me say this real quick. on my podcast last week, I tried to bring up to Dave High that exact topic, Seth. Should we put a little more respect on Chris Greer's name? Because we're seeing it wasn't personnel. It was strategy and philosophy that was holding this team back.
I definitely tried to tell you all that.
Yeah, and Hyde just dismissed me like I'm, you know, Bunny Foo Foo or something.
Well, we know, and I love Dave.
Who is that?
Yeah, exactly, Juice. So, but I'm not saying that Chris Greer should still have his job. I'm just saying that the man didn't put together a team devoid of talent. I always thought the talent was deployed incorrectly, and we'll get into this with the I Tried to Tell Y'all, but this wasn't a talent problem. This was a strategy and philosophy problem, and now that strategy and philosophy have been addressed through the running game and a less emphasis on the big play pass game, your offense is getting you some good results. The offensive line comment that Greer made... We're not laughing at him right now. We might chuckle or smile, but we're not laughing at him.
No, you're absolutely right. I look, and I'm reading here. He didn't keep players home. Sarnie, I love you, but like then the other criticism was he wasn't jumping on the trade deadline, right? You know, and they could have. Right. And then what did they do? They traded a former first round draft pick. Right. He would have got fried for that, you know? So it's like, I don't know, man. I just
You know what, though? But Big Seth, though, also, don't you? And Perk, correct me if I'm wrong, man. GMs also are responsible for draft picks.
Yes.
And some free agents. And there's pressure on them and those guys to play. Do they not have conversations with head coaches about guys playing or not playing because they've got to make it right that they went out and got these guys? No, I can't imagine that some guys don't get preferential treatment because they were drafted in a certain place or they picked up in free agency compared to other guys that are on the roster, man. I mean, that's got to be part of it too, no?
Yeah. I think that does. And look, you know, Chris Greer's drafts were not good. His free agency was so-so, but his drafts were not good, especially at the top of the draft. And you know, it's picked up here recently, but that's a big part of Chris Greer's thing. I think another big part of Chris Greer's thing was he had no vision. He accepted whatever the head coach put out there. So
for Adam
Gase, for Brian Flores, and for Joe for Chris Mike McDaniel, it was kind of whatever they wanted. There was no guiding force, and so when you got a new coach, you had to kind of overturn the roster to fit his playing style. So those are the reasons that Greer is gone. But again, to me, it wasn't personnel. It was lack of vision and on the field stuff more than the roster and the talent that was on the roster.
Got it.
Fair enough. Sure. All right. With your permission, gentlemen, I'd love to move into I Try to Tell Y'all.
Let's do it.
You want to kick it off, Juice?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. I'll kick it off. All right, y'all. I tried to tell y'all the only way the Dolphins can win games is if they lean on the run game and defense. Those two factors, they play well in the month of December in the NFL. Absolutely, they do. We had a dynamic offense with Tyreek and Waddle and Tua and McDaniel back in the day. But that doesn't play well in the nut-cutting days of December. The ability to run the ball is crucial. Did you guys see the weather on Sunday? It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't great. You know, you can't really toss the rock around the yard in some of those conditions that we're going to see moving forward. You had to pound the rock and play physical defense. And that's what the Fins are absolutely doing. This last fourth quarter of the season is what the Dolphins have prepared themselves for. Finally, you know, we all know that Achane is possibly the best back in the league. And boy, is he special. But look how Jalen Wright and Ollie Gordon II picked up the slack when Achane went out with rib injury. Big, powerful, tough running when they knew we were going to run the rock. That's winning football in shitty weather, fellas, and which is what we have to do from here on out. Most people don't know this, Big Seth. I know you know this, but most people don't know this, that, you know, I was a running back in the day before I went to college.
Indeed.
Google me, everybody. Google me.
One of the best in Cleveland history.
Google me. I still got some records there, dogs. You know, toting the rock was my life. So I support the ground and pound mentality, even though I'm a wide receiver. I support it, you know. And I'm glad that the Dolphins have finally adopted that and taking the pressure off of Tua. It's the recipe to get us to 7-7, 8-7, 9-7, 10-7. I'm all in, man. And I tried to tell y'all.
Nice. Bobby said he tried to tell you that he was getting you complimentary football for your birthday. And I guess he did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
Chris Perkins. Coming off the IR, just like Darren Waller, what did you try to tell us?
That's it. Hey, I tried to tell y'all that this Dolphins can't win in cold weather thing is a myth. It's all made up. It's just stuff that fits a narrative that people want to put out there, but it's not true. In the Tua Mike McDaniel era, the Dolphins are 1-5 in cold weather games. The first victory coming last week. In New York, I consider cold weather for this purpose 45 degrees or below at kickoff. Okay, and so here are the games that they played in those conditions. 2022 in Buffalo, they lost 32-29. then the playoffs that year in Buffalo, they lost 34-31. In Kansas City in the playoffs, they lose 26-7. And then last year in Green Bay on Thanksgiving, they lose, I can't remember that score, 26-10, maybe something like that. And then they also lost the finale last year in New York to the Jets in cold weather. They win this year, so that's 1-5. But I'll tell you this, in four of those games, if they were played in September at Hard Rock Stadium, the Dolphins probably wouldn't have won, right? The two games against Buffalo in 2022, the playoff game against Kansas City, and then the game against Green Bay last year on Thanksgiving. In all four of those games, the better team won. The Dolphins didn't lose last year in that season finale because it was cold. They lost with Tyreek with the I'm out, bro, and not going back in the game, and the score of the Denver game, and they saw that they weren't going to make the playoffs. That's more why they lost that game. So I'm going to say that, you know, the cold weather myth, which will come up again Monday night in Pittsburgh, it's a falsehood. Don't buy into it. I tried to tell y'all.
Nice. I'm with you, bro. Let's go.
All right. There it is. Well, fellas, I tried to tell y'all that stranger things have happened than the Miami Dolphins making the playoffs after a 2-7 start. And sure, Tua Tagovailoa has been trapped in the upside down for most of the season.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill, he likely met the same fate as poor Barb. But, and this is a spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched this season 5 yet, but if Will Dan Byers can transform from a crybaby into a superhero, then Jonas Avaiinaia can become Steve Hutchinson. And no, you geeks, I said Steve Hutchinson, not Steve Harrington. I tried to tell y'all that stranger things have happened than what we're seeing with our Miami Dolphins, fellas. Sure, things look lost at 2-7, but when you're battling a demigorgon of a season, all it takes are 11 touchdowns from the reigning AFC Player of the Month, Devon Achane, to get things back on track. That's right. Do the math. 7 rushing and 4 receiving touchdowns for Achane adds up to 11, if that number means anything to you. And as Achane has become a bona fide rock star, Jalen Wright reminded us why the Dolphins were right to trade up for him with his performance this past game. And by the way, Achane wore number 6 at Texas A&M. Jalen Wright currently wears number 5. 6 plus 5 equals 11. Stranger things have happened than the Miami Dolphins making a playoff run, folks. And let's not forget about the Dolphins defense, which has its own fleet of demi-dogs running rampant out there. From Brooks to Chubb, Douglas to Jack Jones, Minka to Tyrell Dodson, who, by the way, last season wore number 11. Stranger things have happened, gentlemen. And since I'm reaching a bit with this 11 thing, let's not forget who the apple of 11's eye is. The love of her life. It's Mike. That's right. Who else? When all else fails, who does 11 turn to or will turn to, or even Holly this season? They lean on that scrawny little geek but worthy hero, Mike. Because Mike McDaniel has taken his punches this year, many of which were deserved, but damn it if his team hasn't quit on him. If he hasn't flipped things upside down himself, changed his offense, and found a way to save the Dolphins' season from a mind flare and absolute despair. I tried to tell y'all that stranger things have happened than the Miami Dolphins making a playoff run, fellas. And wouldn't you know it, there are 4 episodes left in this season to see how things are going to turn out. That's what I
There we go. There we go. I like it.
Love that, man. Oh, man. Right. That was fire. Now I got to watch the damn series.
Good work. Yeah.
Sorry with all the spoiler alert stuff. Right. Too good. Well, that brings us to the long-awaited Chad Van Horn, Van Horn Law Group, LegalZone, featuring Chris Perkins, or who else? So get your questions in the chat if you have any legal questions. But Perk, we haven't seen you in a month.
I know
you got some shit that's going on over there at the crib.
Yeah, you know what? Here's a very topical one for Chad. So Chad, you know, when I used to cover high school football, we used to always have these lawsuits where there would be an illegal player at one school and they would take him to court and they would sue him and get an injunction and hold up the playoffs. Let's go to college football. Should Notre Dame be able to sue the college football playoff selection committee for being snubbed? And what would be the offshoot of that? Could they hold up the playoffs and get an injunction and have a judge hear their case? We should have been in the should that be able to happen? Because it does happen in high school sports.
So Perk, you live in Miami, right?
Yep.
All right. So there used to be a billboard on Miami. It was whocanisue.com. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, I did. But I like that. I like where we're going. So
it was a legit company that a friend of mine started, whocanisue.com, because the American system, well, first off, the American system says 23-13 Steelers on Monday. But the American system says you can legitimately sue anybody for any reason, even if it's a really, really bad lawsuit. And you know that Notre Dame has some smart people.
Yep.
And they have a lot of money.
Yep.
And they will find the right court with probably a Notre Dame alum as a judge. Mm.
There's a whole lot of them.
There are a lot of them. They're everywhere.
A whole lot of them. And there's forum shopping and all of that is real. So obviously the way it played out, and there's a lot of money at stake here too. Right. You guys know how that works. So I've seen parents sue their kids. I've seen so many ridiculous lawsuits out there that
the parents suing their kids thing? Is that what
that was Sam, but that's attorney-client privilege. We can't talk about that. he was just a little disappointed in his children. He thought they'd be taller. but in all reality, if you have, and especially you're going to have pro bono lawyers lining up to represent Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Right. And talented ones.
They just want their name on it, right?
They just want their name on it. Right. Exactly. And there is an argument to be made. So I wouldn't doubt it because, and that's why you don't see it in the NFL because there's all the arbitration provisions and whatnot. But, you know, Notre Dame is so, it's so specific in the agreements that they come into, even with the ACC, with the NCAA, whatnot. They're not going to sign an agreement that does not allow them to have leverage. And they do have leverage. Obviously, they're a brand. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. But I can definitely see
it. Most of us are.
Did you almost go to Notre Dame, Juice?
Yeah, they were number two, Chad. They were number two.
See, okay.
So I wanted to play for the Browns, too, but now they're number 12 on my list of teams I like. So, yeah.
So Perk, to answer your question, 100%, it is a viable lawsuit, and it really could screw some things up. And obviously, I think the entity to blame for this is the ACC. The way they had their championship game was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, that should have been Miami, Virginia, and then the winner goes, and then actually Notre Dame would have gone as well, and that would have been it. But
yeah, that's a good question. In chat, you know, I think with that ACC question is a great one, man, because I think what they need to do is what the Big Ten did, and it's just one big conference, period.
Right.
Best two teams at the end of the day make it to the day. Now, Chad, I've got some privileged information, not anything specific about, you know, when it comes to, like, bankruptcy with you, when it comes to guys that have some means, but they also have some hardware at home.
Bring that up.
They've got hardware at home. I'm not talking about me specifically. I'm saying, but you know some guys that have won some major hardware. And when it comes to when they're filing for bankruptcy, all things like this are considered like an asset, correct? Like,
you know what's amazing about that? I'm glad you brought this up because I was thinking about it. Because Seth called me about some issues he's dealing with. But no, the baseball issues. Just we're talking about the vision.
Trust me, there's a whole lot of them.
He's going to sue his optometrist.
But it's fun. Exactly. No, what's really great is a lot of the companies that give awards, Grammys, Emmys, Heisman, whatever, they put a restriction on being able to sell that item. So even if you end up filing liquidation bankruptcy, Chapter 7, there are certain items that these entities do not want going up bid for the highest seller. So they have a buyback provision for a dollar that if it ever comes up for sale, a for sale or whatnot, they buy it back for a dollar and then they give it back to the recipient after they buy it back for that dollar.
Wow.
Which I think is brilliant. Yeah. And it should be for, wow. And whoever's watching this, and by the way, there's some really influential, I went to a Big Brothers Big Sisters board meeting yesterday, and the number one topic within my group was they were talking about my baby on the way. God bless her and Gabby. Number two was everybody watching the fish tank. They're like, how'd you get on the fish tank? I was like, how do you know about the fish tank?
What do you mean, how do you know about the fish tank?
They're like, well, I've been a Dolphins fan. I didn't realize there are actually Dolphins fans out there. I thought it was just us hanging out.
Hey, Savant, cut his mic. Cut his mic, Savant.
Hey, price this one out, Goose.
Oh, Emmy, by the way, where is my Emmy? I need an Emmy too.
That's right. Yeah, they didn't even give me one.
Savak definitely needs one. Savak definitely needs one. Perk, you get one too.
They have like a website and they got little keychains and stuff. They got, you right. know, some
it'll make my hands look big. I'll get it.
Some magnets. Yeah, we got all.
This thing's like a weapon. It's like a weapon. That's good
we got
stuff.
All of that. Too good. Yeah. Too good. All right, we got a couple more minutes. Any more legal questions?
For I do. I got a condo related one. The perk hour.
Let's do it. The perk hour.
So
2313, I said perk. 2313.
All right, 2313. You're down for it. So at our condo, at our pool, we have this deck that extends out into Biscayne Bay. And the deck was ruled illegal because we built it without without the proper certification. So it's been ruled that we have to tear it down, but nothing has happened in like a year and a half. What happened? Like if we don't actually tear it down, will the county or the city come and tear it down? And if so, like, do we have to pay for that? Or does the city, obviously the city's not going to pay. So what could happen? Could this thing stay up there indefinitely or what happens?
So first off, I didn't realize you're rich, Rich.
No, I'm not.
Good for you. Good for you. And man, what did he say, Juice? He said he had a pool overlooking Biscayne Bay?
Right, with a deck that's special.
That extends into the
big
water.
He's got a big deck, Chad.
He got a big deck, infinity pool.
And that FU money where they don't even care about permits.
Right. Yeah, we care. Come for us. Come for us, bro.
This guy. So here's what you got to do, Perk. I don't know. I mean, I know that you work for a newspaper, right?
Yep.
And there was just an election that happened down in Miami.
There is.
So there's a new government official coming in. So what I would do if I was the condo board is I would make some donations to their next campaign.
Well, there you
and
go.
I would say, hey, by the way, we have this issue and we kind of want to work it out with you guys, because obviously tearing it down is going to cost a lot of money. And what can really happen is the city can come in, tear it down, and then charge the association.
Right.
So that's what happens. They put a lien on the building, and then the association would have to pay it eventually. So what should happen is, in my opinion, is you should be able to make a deal with the city where they come in with their inspectors and you say, all right, we get it. We didn't pull the proper permits. Review everything. If there's anything we need to change, we'll pay for that. And that way you don't have to tear it down, rebuild, and go through the whole process. And that's normally what should happen. I mean, you know, with government, unfortunately, and fortunately in this scenario, they get a little busy. They get a little distracted.
Right.
So this is on the back burner. I probably wouldn't talk about it in any live setting to bring attention to it.
You're the live fish tank of episode.
Oh,
right
shoot,
now.
This is live? Oh, all right.
I'll just get out the checkbook. We're good.
Hey, what? Wait. So his internet cuts out every other time, but not when it needs to.
Right.
Damn. But come on, Pert.
I don't know what's happening.
Right, Savak? Savak like pumped extra internet into you that time. That's an award-winning producer right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. That's why he's legendary.
That's what's keeping me from getting
why he's legendary.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's on the list.
I tried
Perk,
to tell
you. You got an Emmy, don't you, Perk?
Shit, no. Hell no. I don't have no Emmy. No. 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 But you know what? You know what's funny though, Juice? You know what's funny is so when the boy. Heat had that celebration, you know, the not one, not two, not three, I was on the studio. I did a live Dwayne Wade interview outside the locker room. I heard that they got an Emmy for that, but nobody called me, so I guess my role was so insignificant. They were like, really? "Okay, Perk. Yeah." But this was, this was back in 2010, yeah, sure, so yeah.
Hey, well, Perk, my role was insignificant, man. If it wasn't for Big Seth and Mike and Chris, man, look, I'm just riding the wave, man. And they got Otis McDuffie on this bitch.
Otis. Government.
I'm official, like right? official. That's how much they knew me. They didn't know my ass until Seth called my name on stage.
Nah, they knew you were. Speaking of legal questions, though, what's the statute of limitations on Perk going back and trying to get his Emmy?
Right.
5 years. 5 years in Florida.
Okay. Well, five years.
Well, we ain't won a championship in five years, Perk.
Sorry, Perk. Yeah, exactly.
Like filing an injunction or something?
I'm going to get one off Amazon.
Perk.
Too funny.
So when I retire, me and you, we're just gonna go around suing people.
I like
that. Let's do it.
Me and you, we're just gonna clean up every association. Actually, this is actually relevant to you. At the state level, they're trying to pass laws right now that can allow ownership to get rid of associations.
Ooh,
I think that's important. Man. Nice. This whole suit thing. I know you're joking about suing people, Chad. You know.
No, suing bad people. Like bad we're gonna people, be like the right. okay. we're gonna be like the yeah. we're gonna be like Batman, but we don't fight people, we just sue people.
I like
beat
it.
The hell out of them in court.
I like it.
Yeah.
And then, sign me up.
I brag about you saving people's lives, man, with you know what you do in the legal realm.
Yeah, this you know isn't in the commercial.
Now you're trying to you're gonna go after people for
hey,
bad
shake
people,
up the system. Shake up the system.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Chris will identify them eliminate them.
That's it. You.
Oh my God. That's a one-two punch for your ass right there.
Can we make that an Emmy award winning reality television series? That's what
done.
I'm yeah.
done.
And, bad boy.
and we're gonna get the Squid Game voice. We're gonna get that Squid Game voice when we beat him. Be like eliminated.
I love it. It writes itself.
That's right. Too good. Yeah. Speaking of eliminated, the Miami Dolphins are looking to eliminate the Pittsburgh Steelers this Monday night. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We've already heard the predictions from Chad Van Horn. I don't believe in predictions. I don't know if anybody else wants to make one before we sign off. Your predictions in the chat. All right, Juice, what's your prediction? Chris is in the prediction business.
It's going to be a tight one. I'm looking at 21-17, Fins, of course. It's going to be a dogfight all the way to the end. It's going to end up on a stop by our defense when Aaron thinks he's going to go down there and make a play. He's going to get sacked, strip fumble, recovery. Ball game.
I like it. Chris Perkins.
I'm going Dolphins 24-20. But I will say this. We've got to watch the Dolphins special teams, right? We saw that onside kick against New Orleans. We've seen the punt return. We saw them fall for the banana in the tailpipe fake punt. So we got to watch the special teams. But I'm going Dolphins 24-20.
All right. 24-20. Savak, you seem a predictions kind of guy.
Normally I would, but see, I'm a little gun shy now. See, it was about half of my birthday wish for Juice came true. They did, in fact, take touches off of A-Chan, but then he ended up in the blue tent any damn way. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave it to these guys. They're my experts.
That's right.
And on that note, Juice, I think it's about that time.
Hey, everybody, thanks for diving in, everybody.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolph fans, number one, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dab up in that fish tank.